The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You're going to be listening to a bonus episode of Killing Time with six Boston titles that we're going to be covering. Most meaningful, most dominant, most unlikely, most relatable, most hateable, and then the woulda, coulda, shoulda title. But before we do any of that, we're going to talk about the 87.5 wins that the Boston Red Sox are projected to hit this year for 2026. So without further ado, my two co-hosts, Chris Felico and Doug Acheson at Saved by Grace and at DAcheson23. You can find me at Smith_MLB. Chris, why don't you open us up? Do you think the Red Sox are going to get to 87.5? Do you think we're going to even sniff that?
I mean, sniffing it, maybe. I don't think we're going to get to it. And then I saw an even crazier projection. I think Zips had us at like 90-something and a half, tied with the, it was 90 and 72 with the Toronto Blue Jays, a deadlock for the AL East, which I think is even more ludicrous. Without shoring up this infield at this point, it's hard for me to see us getting to 87. So I'm going to say no on that. I would take the under.
Doug?
You're sitting down, Charlie?
I'm sitting down, pal.
I'm going over.
Holy crap, kids.
We won 89 last year. I think we're either a win better or a loss worse. I think we're right around there. I could see us getting to 90 if our two top pitchers both have really good seasons as they could. I think that could get, like, I think, you know, we needed last year was the number two. That's what we kept asking for. We have it. If they both go out and get to, you know, close to 15 wins, that could get us to a win more. That could get us to 90. So I'm going over.
Charlie, before you say anything, I have to dig in here. I'm sorry. I have a question. Please. For Dougie.
Do it.
So we won 89 games last year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you took away Rafael Devers from the beginning of the year to when we traded him and then just pretend that Bregman was hurt all year, do you think we finished with 89 wins?
No, but I think if we had Roman up from game one, that we might have.
So you think Roman up game one makes up for Devers for the quarter he was here, almost a third, and then Bregman for the time he was healthy?
Probably not for both of them, but I think it makes up for some of it. I think it's definitely worth mentioning that he's not worth nothing.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think he definitely makes up for some of it. And I'm not trying to come at you. I'm trying to compartmentalize your thought process. And I think we're
I just don't see why we're like so much worse than last year. I get the Bregman, but like, you know, Bregman had a good first half and then he didn't do anything for us. And the thing is like, well, Meyer always gets hurt. Well, what if he doesn't? I think he could be very good. Like, I think we're just like, oh, well, we can't bank on the unknown, which we can't bank on it, but it can happen. Like, Meyer can be very good. We act like it's just not possible. Like, oh, well, it's unknown. Like, it's very possible that he can be very good. And that's a huge plus. I think all these things are very possible. I think our pitching is very good. Yeah. I think we still have the best closer. We have two of the best starters. I don't see us as like falling off a cliff from
I think it's
last
possible.
Year.
I think, well, we lost Charlie.
No, I'm still here.
I lost.
It's possible. I think the thing that we'd be fools not to take into account is, let's say maybe Meyer doesn't get hurt, but the chances are in a 162 game season, someone is going to get hurt. And if it's not Meyer, who you're kind of counting on getting hurt, what if it is a Garrett Crochet? What if it is your new prize possession in Ron Hare, whatever the hell we're calling him, Suarez?
I get it, but like every time you say what if, I could just say what if they don't.
No, you're right. What if they suck?
What if they don't? What if they're really good?
All right.
It's
Listen, pal. Okay. I got to jump in here for 2 seconds. I don't know. I respect the take about if Roman Anthony was here and Marcelo Meyer were healthy and here, and we're here since day one without Devers. And I hear what you're saying about being able to replace some of it. But I have thoughts. And so here's the bad news, as Terry would say. There's going to be an injury. You can't go into the season saying, what if? My father-in-law, who is the first person I heard this expression from, and then F1 stole it from him, the movie. For those of you who haven't seen it, go check it out. It's awesome. Hope is not a strategy. You cannot hope that everyone will stay healthy and that everything will go great. There will be something that happens and you have to be able to adapt. You need to have backup options. We don't. You have a 2, you have a 3, you have a 4, whatever. What you have are 5 people slotted as your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 without your backups. You are hoping, as the strategy, that everything goes according to plan and that there are no blips along the road. You are 1 Garrett Crochet injury away from being an ugly, ugly team for 2026. So I'll say that. I am not going to be optimistic. I'm very sorry to say it. We are nowhere near 87.5. That's not happening. So I'm with Chris on this. I'm on the under. I love that you're taking the over, Dougie. I really, really do. I'm glad that one person said it, because I think if it was me, Chris would have been slapping me around all the way from New York. I can't see it happening. I just can't see it.
I think like the, well, we're 1 Garrett Crochet away. I mean, every team besides the Dodgers is their ace getting hurt away from losing out on. Like, it's, I mean, I you can say that about any team.
Really. Yeah, but other teams also have pretty formidable offenses where they got.
But other teams don't have our rotation. Our rotation's as good as it is, besides maybe the Dodgers.
Do you think the Red Sox have a top 5 rotation?
Yes.
Chris, do you think we have a top 5 rotation?
In the American League or the MLB?
In the majors.
If healthy and pitching to their potential, yes. I think that there's the potential of obviously injury, which every team is going to deal with. I think the best way to summarize the whole thing for me is, because, like, Doug's right. Is it possible? Anything's possible.
Sure.
I'm always a believer of...
Kevin Garnett taught me that.
You're as good as the back of your baseball card. Now, here's the rub, is we have a lot of guys that just don't have a lot on the back of the baseball card, like a Roman Anthony, right. Like a Marcelo Mayer. So there intangibles where Doug is correct that if things go 100% to plan, where they become what we thought they could become, or even 80%, yeah, maybe this team does win 87 games. Based on the limited sample size and the fact that someone is going to get hurt, and I don't know who that is, it's hard for me to immediately sign up for 87 wins. I don't think it's 100% crazy. I think as confident as Doug is being, I pause for concern on my take with that. But listen, I'm happy that one of us is optimistic.
I mean, a lot of things went wrong last year, and they still won 89.
That's fair.
It's very true. I mean, it's true. Like, and
a lot of guys got hurt. We had a crazy trade. We had crazy in turmoil with Bregman at the end of the year.
John Henry still owned the team.
They still won 89.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I don't see why we're falling off some huge cliff from that, because we lost Bregman, who didn't do anything the second half of the year. And, you know, we have a better rotation. We still have the best closer in the league. We have maybe the best pitcher in the league. We have the best young player in the league.
If we hit 87.5, I will make a public apology to you and only you, and say, from the bastards to the bastard, we were wrong.
This'll settle it. Doug, would you be shocked if they didn't win 87 games?
No.
Okay, fair.
So it's not like I was saying they're going to win 95. Like,
okay.
I think they're going to be right around there, but I think they could definitely get to 88, 89, 90 wins. I definitely think they could flirt with that for sure.
No, they can do better. You think they can do better than last year?
All right, relax. We could take the drug test away. Doug is agreeing he would not be shocked if they didn't, okay?
I know. We'll have a couple fun people. But anyways, all right, so let's move right into this one. So we wanted to do a little fun one of Killing Time, another fun little episode here. So we did a draft. We're going to do reverse snake. I went to randomizer.org, and it's going to be Doug, Chris, Charlie, Charlie, Chris, Doug. Doug, you get to go first. What was your most meaningful, most dominant, most unlikely, woulda, coulda, shoulda, hateable, relatable? What one would you pick?
So I started with most meaningful, and there's no other way to go. It's the 2004 Red Sox, right? So since 2000, we've seen 11 championships in Boston, and anyone will tell you number one on the list is the 2004 Red Sox. Nothing beats it. I don't care what sport's your favorite sport, what team's your favorite team. Nothing beats the 2004 Red Sox. It changed everything for the team. It changed everything for the organization. It changed everything for the city. It changed everything for all the teams in the city. Now really had to compete with each other. It wasn't just the Patriots winning. And they changed everything. And it's the most fun I think any Red Sox fan has ever had watching games. The most emotional any games have been, you know, people with their grandfathers that have never seen a championship. 04 was everything to everybody.
Chris. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that one. I mean, 86 years is, I mean, it's more than a lifetime for most. So the fact that the Sox were able to do it in the fashion that they did, it would be hard to make an argument for another team. I think that in my mind, the only team I could even maybe try to rationalize somehow in my head would be, and this is like really pulling out of the hat here, is like the 1957 Boston Celtics. Bob Cousy was on the precipice of becoming Ed Williams of the NBA, where your great player, historic player, doesn't ever get a championship. He does get that championship, and it starts a dynasty of what will become, I mean, basically the Yankees of basketball. Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably the only other one I could really try and muster up with here.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I don't think there's anywhere else you can go. This was like for anybody that was up, this was the first World Series year for us, our parents, possibly your grandparents, depending on how old everybody is.
Yeah.
You're down 0-3 against the New York Yankees. You won 98 games that year. You're down 0-3, and your asses are on the line, and Dave Roberts is in here to do one thing. Like, literally, the most meaningful moment of this man's career was not the multiple World Series he won in L.A. It's that steal. It is known as the steal. It is one of the most important, probably most important and memorable plays in baseball history. And it doesn't matter where he goes. That man will forever be loved in Boston. It doesn't matter what jersey he wears. If he was wearing a Yankees jersey as a coach, man would still get a standing ovation. It just, there's no other way to look at it. I mean, you go down 0-3 and then you win 8 straight. Like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Just dumb. That team was so stupidly stacked.
It's like a movie script. Yeah,
it was a movie script, man. Chris, anything else you want to add?
Nope. I agree.
Yeah. Chris, what did you have?
So I went with most dominant, and I tried to think about all the different teams, and like, it was hard because you've got a lot of Celtic teams that were quote unquote dominant. But when you really try to come up with a tiebreaker, some of the matchups they had against like the Lakers, like they were close. A lot of them went to game 7. So for me, it's like, how do I say they were that dominant? So for me, and every Patriots Super Bowl, with the exception of one, was like a field goal, touchdown, 4-point game, right? You look at the 2018 Boston Red Sox. I mean, you want to talk about a wagon, obviously the most wins in franchise history, 108, but they absolutely steamrolled the Yankees, Astros, and Dodgers on the way to that World Series. I mean, you think about that Yankee series, they put up a football score in game 3 in the Bronx. I think Brock Holt hit for the cycle in that game, I believe, when they put up about 16 or 15 runs. Yep. And then the Astros, who were the defending world champion. And mind you, the Yankees and Astros all won 100 games, 100-plus games that season. and the Dodgers were very close. I can't make an argument for a more dominant Boston championship team. I mean, just, like I said, absolute wagon. They didn't go further than a game five in any of those series.
Yep, okay. Definitely. It's definitely the choice for most dominant. It's relevant. It's recent. But they were just, like you said, they were just such a wagon. You went into games knowing we're going to roll this team, knowing Chris Sale is going to kill this team. And, you know, like you said, you couldn't think of a team. The only other team would probably be the 86 Celtics. They lost one game at home all season. They killed the Rockets in the finals. I think actually went six, but they beat them up a lot in those games. But yeah, you're right. You know, is no team got past five, and the one game they won in the World Series was the longest game ever. You know, so it's 2018, just steamrolling everybody. Yeah, it's the only choice.
The 2018, like we say 2004 was like a squad. 2018 was also stupid. Like that team was also stupidly stacked. And, that was the year, that was the first of the two 18 inning World Series games that the Dodgers got to play in. And I remember going to a party that night, coming home at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like spent. Passed out, woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I wanted to see the score of the game, and that thing was still on. Sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. We're in the bottom of the 17th inning. So I'm sitting there like, all right, my head hurts, but I got to watch the rest of this game. I'm already up. Crazy. And it sucked because it was Max Muncy off of Nick It was Nasty Nate. It was, I think Max Muncy went to left center field, and then everyone was just like, what the hell? And then what's crazy is that one of my buddies brought a stepson to that game, and he's not a baseball fan. I'm like, you went to a World Series game, and you're not a baseball fan. That is so annoying. Yeah. I'd never gone to even, like, any major playoff game. And then a couple years later, I ended up going to see the Houston Astros and the Red Sox in the, 2020 ALCS or ALDS? I can't even remember now. It's so far.
21, I think.
21, yeah.
Yeah, 21. Yeah. So
I was at game one out of the 18 World Series.
You went to
game one, when Eddie Nunez hit that home run.
You went to the World Series game?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Holy crap, dude.
Dude, I've been to
The air. I want to know how you got the ticket for that game.
I've been to a lot of crazy games, dude. I was at the game when Pedro threw Zimmer to the ground.
You were at that game?
Yeah.
How was that not the most meaningful game to you? Like that should have been the season.
We lost that game though. So.
Yeah, but that's what like reinvigorated the rivalry of A-Rod saying, "I love you. I love you."
That game was crazy.
Oh my god, you went to that
And then there was a fight in the dugout. Right, there was a fight in the dugout that game with one of the Yankee relievers and one of the Red Sox security guards.
Was it Tanyan Sturts? Tanyan Sturts?
Yeah. And I know that security guard, like, wicked well. He's like my dad's friend. He's the man.
You know?
He's still the security guard at Fenway. I go to Fenway, I still see him.
So, wait. Do you also know the security guard that, like, put his hands up in the air when Torrey
Hunter... Oh, no, that guy was a Boston cop.
Yeah, that was a cop.
So, like...
Okay.
Because my dad worked at Fenway, It was a security guard that worked there, so he was friends with him.
I got no words, Tall Paul. Dude.
He's like,
that's huge. Nuts.
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay, off the air. I'll
tell you more. I've been to a lot. Yeah.
That's insane. I like lost my train of thought for a second. like nothing else. I didn't know what to say. For me, unless there's anything else we want to add to most dominant. Since we got to say that for your most meaningful, holy crap. most unlikely, the 2001 New England Patriots. No one thought in a million years that they were actually going to do what they did. And this was just the beginning of what was known as probably the most, now we like for New England fans, we expect to win the Super Bowl if you're a Patriots fan. Tom Brady's your QB. You expect to go to the playoffs every year. If you don't make the playoffs, like the year that he got cheap shotted in the first game of the season, I think that was 2008, the following was 7 years later. Yeah. The expectation was you make the playoffs and you play in the Super Bowl. That was the expectation. Get to this, like play in the Super Bowl. Other people are get to the playoffs. But this is a team that went 11-5. If I'm not mistaken, 2001, Tom Brady did not start the year as their quarterback. So things were not looking, it was like, you know, you're almost number 200 quarterback pick in the draft ends up leading your team to being the team. Like the New England Patriots are the dynasty team. I don't think there's going to be another NFL team as, oh, we were able to replicate with the Patriots in a unique way. You know, you had a lot of players taking discounts so that you could construct those teams.
Yeah.
But holy crap, dude. I mean, we were so spoiled as Patriots fans and New England fans. If you didn't win the Super Bowl, if you didn't win the World Series or the Stanley Cup, there's a pretty good chance you're going to win the Super Bowl. So you won at least something. Yeah. And that was when Tom Brady was there. That was the beginning of the greatest NFL dynasty we are ever going to see. So for me, I'm going to say that one. That the most unlikely was that one. They went 11-5. No one really knew that was going to happen. And then they just absolutely carried and dominated. Chris or Doug, I'm not sure who wants to go next.
Yeah, go ahead, it's that team that it's super. I mean, it is probably the most unlikely. And, you know, I grew up the I saw them go to the Super Bowl with Bledsoe when I was pretty young. So, you know, when they won in 2001, I remember.
Of course you did. You went to those games.
When we won in 2001, I remember my dad being like, I can't believe this. Because, like, you know, he grew up, you know, the Celtics won in the 80s, 70s. The Bruins won in the 70s. You know, he never saw the Red Sox win, but they were good. You know, the Patriots were just never good his whole life. And when they won in 01, he was like, this is truly, like, I can't believe the Patriots won the Super Bowl. So, yeah, unlikely 01 is definitely that team.
Yeah, it's, you know, if it was unexpected, I would maybe pick, there's a couple of teams that come to mind. I won't say them, but it's, if unlikely, it's 100% the 2001 Patriots. Because to your point, prior to that, when you really think about it, and it's crazy to think because now, I mean, football dominates everything. The Patriots were number four out of the four major sports teams in Boston. Bruins had the history, had the Stanley Cups. Red Sox never won, but were everyone's favorite. And then you had the Celtics, who were an absolute wagon when it came to championships, and how the tides have turned, and it started there. And, you know, to your point, Charlie, yeah, like Bledsoe started that season, gets hurt. Tom Brady comes in, you know, sixth round pick. And I mean, I believe they were double digit underdogs, the biggest underdog in a Super Bowl to that point.
Yeah.
And they beat, you know, the greatest show on turf in the Super Bowl. So it's hard not to say that one.
So this is going to be now the snake draft, the reverse. I'm also going to go with the woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I know Chris is going to be pissed about this one. But, you know, I genuinely think, congratulations, you guys got one on us. Well, two, actually.
You got two, but that's not
the point. Yeah, I know, two. And I don't count them. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. This is going to be your 2007 New England Patriots that won every single game that mattered except for the last one that mattered. And the crazy thing about it is the Patriots actually played the Giants that year and they barely won. They won by three. Of course you were. You guys, this is ridiculous. All right. Like, I should go. You two should go buy a Powerball ticket. This is absolutely mental. But, I mean, back to this 2007 Patriots team, I mean, they did not miss. Like, they were – you had Randy Moss, who had 23 touchdowns. He had over 1,400 yards. Tom Brady threw for, what, almost like 5,000 yards. I believe he had the record for most touchdown passes. Yeah. He had like 50 or 49 that year.
Yep.
This team was perfect. They were perfect. And not all the games were, you know, 3-point games. Like, you go back to it and some of them were 38-7, 52-7, 56-10. I mean, they were absolute routes. It was just, you were getting destroyed. And there was only three or four games that entire year where Tom Brady didn't shell for like 300 plus yards. He hit 370 like five times that year. That reminds me of like Matt Schaub when he was thrown for 400, 500 yards because they're playing down by like 30 points. But in my eyes, in my heart, and probably all of New England, that's the year that if there was one title that we could have switched and gotten that perfect year, that would have been the one. So, Doug, we'll let you go first before Chris dismantles it.
Yeah, I don't really care that they didn't win, and I don't care what anyone says. That's the best football team of all time. That's plain and simple. That's the best football team of all time. I don't really, you know, they lost one game. It just so happened to be the last one.
I know.
But I don't really care. That's the best football team that any of us have ever seen. And Brady was throwing four touchdowns in first halves. And it was just easy football for them. And, you know, the Giants played very well, and their defensive line was great, and they beat us and whatever. But still the best football team I've ever seen.
Yeah, Randy Moss had 23 touchdowns that year. He had 24 the following two seasons combined.
Yeah.
He was an absolute cheat code.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to describe it. He's going to go down as one of the best receivers of all time. There's no question.
Yeah.
Chris, anything you want to add, or do you want to just skip this one? I don't blame you.
No, I'd love to talk about this one. No, I mean, so I was at that game, that last game of the – it was actually the last game of the regular season.
Right. It was the last game of the regular season. That's right.
So my grandpa's had season tickets to the Giants since 1958. He left two to me, two to my uncle, two to my aunt. And me and my brother went to that game. And I'll never forget, there was the touchdown that broke the record was a bomb to Randy Moss that he went past Corey Webster. Right. And the play before it, he overthrew him.
Yep.
And we all were like, oh, thank God. And I was like, right, watch him do the exact same play. And they did. And he burned him, gets the touchdown. And I remember me and my brother were so dejected leaving that game. She's like, wow, like, because for us, that was our Super Bowl. We didn't think we were going to the Super Bowl. And Patriots right. fans were like, we're going to see you in the Super Bowl because we played you the hardest out of most of the teams in the regular season. And we were like, that was our Super Bowl. Like, we're not going to see you. And I remember watching the Patriots, that playoff run, they did not look like the same team. They kind of struggled against the Jaguars, that they did beat them. And then obviously they got the Chargers. Phillip Rivers gets hurt. And again, still didn't think we were going to beat the Patriots, but then Tom Brady was shocked when we predicted that he would only score 17 points. He only scored 14. So what it is.
I mean, we're watching this thing on national television, and I'm sitting there. I remember who I was sitting with, not at the game because I wasn't as fortunate as either one of you.
Doug MFers. Was sidelined.
Yeah, Doug was probably sidelined rubbing shoulders. And I sat there like, oh, whatever. Like, all right, first quarter, not worried about it. Second quarter, not worried about it. And then third quarter, I was starting to get like a little nervous. I didn't get nervous till the third quarter. I was like, I'm not worried. We got it. It's going to be the perfect year. We're going to do it. And then the fourth quarter happened. And then like one thing after another, I am starting to get worried. And things are not looking the way they should have looked. And to this day, I'm going to go down. I bet you if there's one game that he thinks about that he'll never forget, it's going to be that game.
100%.
We had it. We're winning in the fourth quarter. And then that touchdown happens with what felt like 5 seconds left. It was like 40 seconds, I forget. And I'm sitting there stunned. And my college friends and I were sitting and watching this. They're not Patriots fans. Like some of them, they can't stand the Patriots at this point, which I get, like I understand. But that play was so shocking. They didn't cheer. They were in shock. Yeah. I didn't cheer because I was pissed. So, I mean, 3 quarters go by. It's 7-3. 21 points get scored in the final goddamn quarter of that Super Bowl. But anyways, I digress. So I'll leave it there. Yeah. I think, was it Chris, you're next? Yeah. Most relatable?
Yes, most relatable. I mean, for me, it's a 2013 Boston Red Sox. I mean, that's when we were talking about the most unexpected, I guess I would kind of put them in that same category because, I mean, they were a last place team the year before.
Yep.
And they didn't, I mean, they had David Ortiz still at that point, but it was the twilight of his career, even though he was still, I mean, absolutely amazing. But, I mean, you had the post-marathon bombing, right? So, like, there was already that added connection to the city that I don't think any other team in Boston really had, or at least in modern sports at this point. But I mean, it was such a misfit roster. You had Napoli, Victorino, Gomes, and just a bunch of dudes that, like, yeah, they had good careers in other places, but none of them were true superstars. And for me, it completely came out of nowhere. But these were guys that you could feel like you can go have a beer with, let alone go out there and win a World Series. So that's why I'm most relatable.
I'm sure Doug actually did. I'm sure Doug had a beer with John, you know, with Mike Napoli, like across the street. I heard that Mike Napoli at the end of the game went out to the bar and got shit-faced.
Yeah.
like just got completely tanked. And I love him for it, you know? But that, I mean, that moment, I was going to my friend's house, our friend's apartment. I just moved to California a couple of years before that. Was up the elevator and he goes, I can't believe it. You're never going to believe what just happened. I'm like, yeah, we're fucking losing. Excuse my language. I just swore I can't believe it. I just did it. I said I would never do it and I did it. Excuse me. Forgive me. We're losing the game and David Ortiz comes up. They bring in Joaquin Benoit and it's game two. You're hoping to like get a couple runs on the board. You don't expect in a million years you're going to hit a granny in that. Like in that situation, no bleeping way. And I couldn't believe I missed it. I was in the elevator. But I got to watch it again on replays after. I heard cheering and screaming, not knowing what was going on. And that's what it was about. But dude, Chris, absolutely relatable. That entire team, there was no one there that you'd be like, I'm whatever with you. It was perfectly constructed. It was perfectly constructed. Everyone had a purpose. Everything made sense. Anything else you guys want to add? Dougie, do you want to add
it's anything? It's the relatability started when Ortiz took the mic and said, this is our effing city.
Yeah. That was wild.
And funny thing about that, I was there for that game and heard him say that.
So. I know you were. Yeah, I know.
I was.
This is crazy.
But yeah, I mean, it was just a fun team. Just a fun team.
When that happened, everyone said, oh, well, that's inappropriate. He's going to get fined. But he was actually protected for the speech that he actually
Everyone loved gave. It. Everyone in the stadium. I was around everyone old was ladies. For it. They loved it.
Everybody was for it. And he didn't get in trouble. Dougie, you get to wrap us out. What do you have?
Yeah. Most hateable I have. And so for me, I'm going in a way that not a team that I hate, but a team that a lot of people hate. And it's the 08 Celtics. They're the biggest, excuse me, Charlie, the biggest shit talking team of all time, right? Paul Pierce and KG were the biggest talkers in the league. Number one, number two. Players around the league hate this team. Fans around the league hate this team. If you look up, like, you know, there's memes about them that no one's milked one championship more than this squad because they still talk like they're one of the best teams ever, even though they only won one. But to me, they are. And they're very hated because they hated everyone and they were out to make no friends. And, you know, they were the toughest, meanest team in the league. And, Their reputation around the league was that, you know, everyone hated to play them and hated KG and Paul.
It's a good one. I mean, because the truth is, of all the franchises in Boston, the Celtics are probably historically the most hated because they did the most winning over a more prolonged period of time. So the fact that they kind of brought winning back and they were talking like they were going to win a bunch, I mean, that makes sense. On a personal note, mine would be the 2019 Patriots because I had actually picked going and I would have won a ton of money had the Chiefs actually started their dynasty a year earlier because I picked the Chiefs against the Rams and the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl that year. And I would have won like $5,000 and they were winning that game and the Patriots knocked them out. And I was like, all right, well, you know, at least I'll get a good Super Bowl. And it was a snooze fest. But I mean, I think the 2008 Celtics, that's a good one too for a different reason.
KG talked his game and he backed it up.
Oh yeah.
So people can cry all they want. I mean, there are some real, real insufferable fans out there. KG did his thing. There are so many other players that talked like big games and could never back it up. KG did and was able to. So I don't care. Paul Pierce, same thing. Couldn't care less. If people want to complain about that, too bad. They still have a title at the end of the day. And I think they probably could have had another one, but there were some really, really good teams in the NBA in that like early 2000 to late 2000s year.
KG got hurt the next year.
KG got ripped, man.
Perkins got hurt the year after that.
Destroyed, bro.
They lost in game seven. So they could have won more, you know, but they got the one.
It didn't work out. It was just like really, really unlucky. It is what it is. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's okay. At the end of the day, they got one and I'm happy with it. Yeah. You know,
they beat the Lakers in game six by like 30. Yep. And I was in the building to see them host the trophy. I was in there to see all that confetti fall. I was in there.
I have questions for you after the show that I can't ask in good conscience because I don't want anyone else to be like, oh, we got to hit Dougie up for this. Like,
Doug, were you there to like give Tim Thomas water when they won that Stanley Cup in 2011?
I could have been.
I could have.
What was it like watching Nomar play?
Dude, I met Nomar a few times actually.
I was just joking. You actually met him? Jesus, times, here we go.
How heavy was his bat when you handed it to him?
We honestly could have a show just about Doug's moments in Boston.
Doug's greatest in-person moment.
Doug's greatest hits. We'll call it Doug's greatest hits. And if your back is hurting, Doug, I got a great chiropractor for you. All right, pal? I know a guy. I know a guy. He'll take good care of you. Anyways, is there anything else you guys want to add to that one?
No, that's it, man.
No, that's it.
All right. Thanks, pals. I appreciate you both. It's been a pleasure from all of the Bastards to you. If you want more content, go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. That's where you can find us. Everyone have a great evening. Take care.